Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, we'll grab a seat. Good morning. Hey, if you're a guest today, I want to introduce myself. My name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. And man, we are pumped that you are with us. And if it is your first time, I want to tell you right at the top, today's going to be a little different than normal. And if it's your first time, you wouldn't know that, but I'm telling you. See, normally when we gather each week, when we come to this time, we're in the middle of a series, and we typically discuss a topic, we discuss a struggle that we all have, and then we turn to God's Word, and we discover how He either has solved that, or how He gives us steps to get through it, or how He wants to use it in our life. We did that last week, we'll do that next week. Today's a little different. Today, if it's your first time, you're going to get to watch our church take a step. All right, we're taking a step today. And if today's your first time, that step does not involve you. You do not have to take this step. But I do want you to know the step we're taking today is for you. And that may seem a little odd, so let me explain. We talk a lot at our church. And our people have heard me say that for everybody who calls Wellspring home, that once upon a time, there was a seat, there was a chair with their name on it. Before they came to our church, before they checked out our church, there was a chair waiting for them. And we don't say that because we think we're special or we've got really great chairs. See, we say that because we believe the God of the universe loves every single person He's ever created. And we believe because He loves every single person He's ever created, He has been at work in their lives, and He has a plan for reconciliation between Him and them. That plan involves sending His Son, and I believe that plan involved creating local churches. Because we believe that God wants to execute that rescue mission through His local church. And since we know God loves everyone in Horry County, and we're not the only church in Horry County, there's great churches in Horry County. We believe with all our hearts that every person in Horry County has a seat somewhere with their name on it. Just waiting for them to discover the God of the universe. So the step that we are going to take today as a church is our way of making sure that for whoever in Horry County God has seen fit to use our church to reach, to use our church to introduce to Jesus, the step we're taking today makes sure that we always have room for them. That there's always an extra seat. That there's always a seat with their name on it. So if you're a guest today, it's so that there's always a seat with your name on it. And the step we're taking is something called Stronger. If you've been around our church for a while, you know around this time last year, God put it on our hearts that there were some steps that He wanted us to take to prepare ourselves for everything He wanted to do through our church in 2025. And so today, we're going to kind of do multiple things. We're going to reflect. We're going to celebrate what God's done through the last year. And then all of us who call Wellspring home, we're going to agree together to take another step, to get stronger again, because we know God has great plans for 2026 and beyond. But now before we dive in, I did want to kind of give you a framework. I wanted you to understand where this stronger language is coming from, why it's something we're talking about, how we've kind of put it into everything we do. And the language comes to us from a man named Paul. If you call Wellspring home, you have heard me explain who Paul is about 4,000 times. But if you're a guest today, let me explain who Paul is.
The Apostle Paul is probably the greatest missionary the church has ever known. Probably 20 to 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Apostle Paul was actually persecuting the church. He didn't believe in Jesus. He was trying to stop the movement of Jesus' followers. And then one day, Jesus appears to Paul, says, Paul, what are you doing? Paul repents. Paul recognizes who Jesus is, and he immediately pivots and goes from trying to squash the church to becoming the greatest missionary the Christian church has ever known. And he took the message of Jesus to seaport after seaport, to all the major cities in the Roman world, and he would start churches there. And not only would he start churches there, he would make sure they were up and running, and then he would move on to a new city. But then he would write these churches letters because he still had questions. This was also new. And he would write them these letters to give them instructions for what it looked like to be a Christian, what it looked like to be a Christian husband and a Christian father and a Christian mother and a Christian wife, and what it looked like to be a Christian business owner, what it looked like to live Christ first in all things. And see, what we as Christians believe is when Paul was writing those letters, the Holy Spirit was speaking through Paul. And the church has preserved these letters for thousands of years. So now, almost 2,000 years later, on the other side of the planet, you and me, we can read these letters. And it's as if the God of the universe is speaking directly to us and directly into our lives. And in one of these letters that Paul writes to the church at Colossae in chapter 2, he encourages them to continue to grow in their faith. And it's that encouragement that gives us the stronger language. Here's what he says. He's talking to believers, and many of us in this room consider ourselves Christ followers, and he says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, that decision to become a Christ follower, he says you must continue to follow him. If you call Wellspring Home, we talk about this all the time. We're not simply invited into a decision with Jesus. We're invited into a relationship with Jesus. We did a whole series this spring about how he is our good shepherd and he wants to guide us and he wants to lead us. And what Paul is teaching here, and what he's teaching all of us, is that as we become a Christian, it is a forward-moving event. It's not a one-time event. We are invited to spend the rest of our lives following Jesus, obeying him more, becoming more and more like him. It's how we become the men and women he created us to be. It's how we shine his light to a world around us that desperately needs it, by following him, by allowing him to lead us towards his purpose for our lives, by allowing him to lead us away from the sin and pain of our lives that holds us back. We follow him. And as we do, something happens. As we follow, our roots, they grow down into him, and our lives are built on him. See, our roots can grow down into Jesus because Jesus nourishes our soul. In fact, he nourishes it in a way nothing else can, which is why not only do our roots grow down into him, as that happens, our lives are built on him. And what that means is the foundation of our lives, the stability of our lives, the thing that helps us navigate difficult situations. I don't know about you, but in most of my life, the foundation of my life has been my level of performance in anything I could do. And if I was achieving well and performing well, it was solid. But if something didn't go quite right, if I failed, it got a lot shakier. Well, what Jesus invites us to is to have a much firmer foundation in our lives that is beyond our performance, and that is built on the eternal principles of the God of the universe. And so it's an invitation. It's saying, hey, lean in, follow me, trust me. And as you do, the roots of your life are going to grow down into me, and you're going to find more nourishment and satisfaction in me. You're going to find that abundant life that we look for so many places. You're going to find it in me. And you're going to find it easier to build your life on me. Which means when, not if, when the storms of life come, when, not if, the chaos happens, when, not if, pain comes, when, not if, failure comes. Yeah, it hurts and it bothers us, but it doesn't shake the foundation. Because we've built our lives on something bigger than us. We've built it on Jesus. And every step of obedience we take, every step away from temptation, every step into purpose, every single step we take is a step towards more roots, toward a firmer life. And here's how Paul explains it. He says, when you do these things, then your faith will grow strong. It'll be stronger than it was before. It'll grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Thankfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. When we build our lives on Jesus, we overflow, not just with thankfulness, but with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the products of a stronger life. Because that strength doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from anything around us. It comes from the God of the universe. And what we know as a church is that we are collectively a body. That's what Paul calls us. We are the body of Christ. God brings us together to represent his son on earth, and we are literally his hands and his feet. And we all have roles to play, which means the stronger we are all individually as a church, the stronger our church is. And the stronger our church is, the more able we are to play our role in God's story. So that's where we get the stronger language. And a year ago, we really felt like God was saying, okay, it's time to take a step. We need to get stronger as a church to see what God wants us to do. So a year ago, we prayed and we dreamed and we said, God, what would you have us do? And we basically did a couple of things. At the end of last year, we kind of cast this vision and we invited people to give. At the end of your offering, you gave, and you actually gave over $210,000 extra at the end of last year. Yeah, you did that. And we told you in advance what we would do with that money, and we did. We used that money to do some upfits around our building. Some of you have seen it. You know, we were able to recarpet our preschool areas. We were able to make them fantastic. We were also able to recarpet the auditorium. We didn't need a picture of that. Just look down. There you go. Did that just for you guys. Had it there. But no, man, we've been able to change our preschool environments. We've been able to create new environments for children. We added something this year that we're calling the Kids Discover Room. And it's just a special place, maybe for some kids who, I can remember being this way, but who can just get a little overstimulated. Yeah, you're familiar. Yeah. Yeah, and so we have a place now where even in the midst of being here on a Sunday morning, if they can get a little overstimulated, we can take them and we can calm them down and help them feel safe. You know, one of our heartbeats as a church is we want everyone who walks through our doors to feel safe, seen, heard, and loved. Safe, seen, heard, and loved. And again, that's not special to us. That's what Jesus did for us. And so we're just trying to be his hands and be his feet. And so we create these environments. We've also been able to redo some of our adult environments, our blue room. We've been able to completely redo that to add something we call the Discover Track. Many of you have been a part of that. We were also super blessed. We were able to add two awesome staff members, Camel and Gabby Sims. Yeah. Yeah, because of your guys' generosity, we were able to bring them on, and they're doing great things in students and in next steps. We were also able to bring on a counselor, Clint Compton, that many of you have. Yeah, you can clap for Clint. They'd love that. And again, I just point these things out because we told you a year ago what we would do, and I'm reporting back what we did. We used your money well to really make this place more of an inviting place for people in 2025. We also asked people to consider volunteering more, which we now have more adults serving than we ever have. We also asked for another financial commitment we'll kind of talk about in a minute. But we basically just cast this vision. Hey, if we take some steps, if we dream, if we move forward, we believe that God's going to do something bigger than we could ask or imagine in 2025. And I'm happy to report, as we're nearing the end of 2025, God has done amazing things. Number one, I mean, we have grown in 2025. If you look around, especially at 9:30, this is one of the few times in the last 3 months there's been an extra seat. You've probably noticed that. And because of that, we're actually launching a third service in January. We're very excited about that. The first Sunday in January, but not the second. We're coming out of the gates. Yeah, it's Christmas and then it's go time. But we're doing that because, I want you to see these numbers, we've seen a 20% increase year over year in our weekly attendance. And what that means is that's how we track it. We track it year over year, monthly averages, and we compare it. And man, people are just coming at an amazing clip. You guys are inviting like crazy. People are finding Jesus like crazy. We've had a couple hundred people have raised their hands with us throughout the year to tell us that they've become Christ followers. Of those, we've been able to baptize 142 people. Yeah. Yeah, 142 people, yeah. And we're not done. We've actually got a baptism coming up in a few weeks. And so we're gonna pad those stats before the end of the year. Guys, God's moved this year in an amazing way. And if you call Wellspring home, if this is your church, I have a request. And that request is you help us get stronger again. And I know that that might be a hard ask because this has been a year of change for you. This has been a year of learning and a year of discovering. For some of you, this may be your first year in a church. And it all seems so new and so different. For some of you, you've been in churches your entire life. But wherever you are, I don't want you to forget that once upon a time, before you came here, there was a chair with your name on it. You didn't know it was waiting for you, but God did. And I don't know the events that led you here, but you do. And you probably remember that first Sunday. You pulled up. Pulled into our parking lot. Somebody in some vests tried to tell you where to park. Some of you were very grateful. Some of you had a different response to being told where to park. We were just trying to help. But you made it through. You parked. You parked your car. You started walking in, and there were signs so you knew where to go. And there were all these people, and they were all smiling. And again, some of you liked it. Some of you were very suspicious with the smiling. You're like, what's going on here? But they welcomed you, and you came in, and maybe you made your way over to the coffee, and you got some coffee, or maybe you had kids, and so someone walked you to our children's environment, and you were probably nervous because you weren't sure if you were going to check your kids in or not, but you met someone, and they were kind, and you thought, you know what, an hour without the kids sounds great, and so you filled it out, and you dropped the kids off, and then you made your way into our auditorium. You looked around. Maybe you got here early, and you learned later, don't do that anymore because no one shows up early. But you got here early, and you found a seat, and then the music started, and it was good. It was loud. You probably thought it was too loud. It's not. You just think it is. And then you realize, I can sing as loud as I want, and as loud as I want, and no one can hear me. That's why it's so loud. It's because you can't sing. If you could sing better, we'd turn it down, but you can't. I was in a church last week. Music was not loud. Should have been louder. It was rough. But you enjoyed it. You don't know why, but you sang the songs. And then when the message started, you laughed and you understood it. You felt like, hey, this makes sense. And for some of you, it was the first time church had ever made sense. And nothing major happened that day. You You left thinking, well, that was interesting. You left thinking, maybe I'll apply that, maybe I'll try that. But then you pick your kids back up, and they had a blast. And before you get back to the car, they say, can we come back next week? And your heart sank because you were like, this was a one and done for me. But your kids, they wanted to come back, and maybe you wanted to come back, or maybe your spouse wanted to come back. But over the next few weeks and months, you came back. And before you realized it, you wanted to come back. And before you realized it, you started applying some of the things we were talking about, and you noticed, hey, wait, this works. My marriage is getting a little healthier. My parenting seems to be working. You noticed it work. I'm having less anxiety. I'm able to trust because I'm finding my foundation is no longer built on my performance. My foundation is built on something eternal. My foundation is built on the King of Kings. And before you knew it, you became one of those people who are here every time you're in town. And you don't want to miss. And you say, there's just something about that place. I assure you, it's not the place. It's the Spirit inside the people. It's God's Spirit that moves. But whatever happened, you're here now, and you call Wellspring home. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I've heard this over and over and over. When you talk about this place, here's what you say. This church has changed my life. Now, please hear me. The church did not change your life. The God of the universe changed your life. But he did use this church to make it happen. Because that's how he moves. That's why he gave us the local church. And what I want you to see in that entire story, where you came, you investigated, and you discovered who Jesus is, through that entire process, I don't want you to miss this, we were strong enough for you. We were strong enough for you to come. We were strong enough for you to sit. We were strong enough for you to observe. We were strong enough for you to take the time required to settle your soul so that God could change your life. And that story happens over and over and over and over again. It happened just a few weeks ago. October 13th. It was a Monday afternoon. Eric Colquitt and I had the amazing opportunity to spend a couple of minutes with a man who was new to our church. 69, almost 70. Had never considered God, was pretty convinced there was no God until his wife started attending here. Then he came with her because he didn't want her to sit alone. Fast forward to October 13th. Eric and I had the privilege of praying with him in my office to become a Christ follower. And I want you to hear his story because I want you to see just how critical it is that we remain strong enough for whoever God wants to send. Check this out.
As far as a faith background, I really don't have a tremendous faith background, and I'll tell you why. I grew up in a very chaotic family. A lot of people have, and that affected me in ways that I wouldn't understand. And I ultimately pursued a career as a police officer. And when I pursued that career, I realized I thought things were kind of bad for me and my family, and I realized that it can get a lot worse. And saw a lot of horrible things. And always at that point, any kind of thoughts about God or how God works were like, I was like, how can a loving God allow these things to go on? And I really never had anybody give me a good answer to that. And so it just didn't seem to me, from my experiences, is that God really cared about us. That was kind of the position where I started from. But then as time went on, I survived some things both in my career that could have really ended my life, and outside of my career, injuries and falls and other medical issues. And then I started to think, that just didn't happen by accident. That didn't happen by accident. That happened for a reason, and that there's got to be something else going on here. My wife had been attending here for a while, and that's why I started coming here. And she was coming by herself, and I really didn't feel right about that. And plus, I think I had some questions she was telling me about the service and church and what was happening here. And I really started feeling curious about it. The first day I came in to Wellspring, I immediately felt comfortable, which was not something that I thought I was gonna feel. I felt comfortable, I felt like I belonged here. And when the service started, I felt like there was, I belonged in the chair I was sitting in, and I was there for a reason. My journey here at Wellspring is kind of interesting in that at first I was just listening. I was just listening, you know, as a non-believer, but questioning. We started meeting some people, and we joined, my wife joined a small group, and I started going with her, and I met some really nice people there, which is, they're a big part of this process for me. The more I heard, the more inquisitive I became, the more I wanted to hear. And everybody who's presented here at the church has struck a chord with me in some way. I think one of the things that led me to where, to accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, was that I'm so thankful for everything I have. And I'm not coming here asking for, I want to give thanks. And I felt like that was coming through the message. And one of the sermons Trey did was on, how do you hear God's voice? That made a connection inside of me. So for me to recognize, and I love national parks. And I think Trey had said something along the lines of, when you go into like, and look at the Grand Canyon and you're in awe. That was a big kick in the pants for me. I come from a position of thanks. I have a great life. I've missed so many things that could have ended my life or altered my life in so many ways. And I now realize, after my adventure here at Wellspring, is that all of these things happened because God was there, and he was my wingman the whole time, and I didn't necessarily recognize it. I would like to state to the people of Wellspring, everybody in this church, that I, first and foremost, I thank you beyond belief, because you're here creating this environment for somebody like me and allowed me to come in and be here. And like Trey says all the time, day, if this is your first day, thank you for coming here. If this is your 100th day, thank you for coming here. And when he said that the first day I was here, I know he wasn't talking to me, but it felt like he was talking to me. And when that happened, I immediately realized that this church is here doing the work of God and strong enough to be able to say, yeah, we get it. Not everybody is full on right now to still welcome somebody like me to come in and explore and ultimately get to my goal, which is the reason I was here in the first place. Thank you to every person in this church who has been accepting and open to me.
Yeah, I'll say thank you as well. Thank you. I say it all the time. It is a privilege to pastor this church. Because God's doing amazing things. I've been doing this a long time. You don't get many opportunities to lead 69 and 70-year-olds to Jesus. You just don't. And so thank you. Thank you for being a church that God could use to bring Guy home. And I showed that story because I know a lot of you have lived that story. Maybe it's your story. And here you sit, maybe for the first time, realizing, you know what, it's true. This church has changed my life. God has used it to do amazing things. And so if that's you today, this is the stronger journey. This is the stronger ask. And it's this. Will you help us ensure that our church is strong enough for people who are where you were? See, we were strong enough for you. And now, as you've stepped, as your faith has gotten stronger, as your life is starting to be built on Him, God's plan for you and for me and for all of us is to now step so that He can continue to do what He's been doing in our church. And it really comes down to three simple challenges, three simple asks. And here's the first one. Will you consider giving your best gift towards our Stronger 2026 offering? It's very simple. It starts today. Some of you came prepared for that. But through the end of this year, we're taking our Stronger 2026 offering. It's a special offering. It's an extra offering. It's above and beyond our regular giving. But if you've never given before, it's a great way to start. And the way we talk about it is, think about it, is this Christmas season, let's give our best gift towards what God wants to do in 2026. Specifically, as I mentioned, we're launching a third service. And so we're going to use the vast portion of whatever comes in this offering in 2026 to fund the expenses of a third service. More electricity, more all the stuff just to fund that. We'll use the rest to continue to do more improvements to the building and get ready to hire new staff in 2026 as growth drives that. And so it's a simple. It's just to pray, and between now and the end of the year, just a generous offering, saying thank you to God for who He is, for what He's done, and as a way to prepare our church for what God wants to do next year. Here's the second question. If this church has changed your life and you don't already, will you consider joining a serving team for 2026? See, when you showed up, there were people volunteering so that you could find a place to park, so that you could get coffee, so that you could leave your children, so that when you sat in here, the lights were right and the sound was right and the music was right and everything made sense. That's how this church runs. It runs on volunteers. And if God has changed your life here, that means we believe that He has a role for you to play here. And we would love to partner with you in that, because as we've been showing you all this fall stories of people serving, it turns out when we play our role in God's story, we benefit more than the church does. It's where we find community. It's where we find connection. It's where we find healing. And so if this church has changed your life and you don't already, will you consider serving? Will you join a team so that next year when we launch our third service, we're able to be strong enough for the people who are coming? And then lastly, so another financial question. Starting next year, will you create and commit to a plan to support your church financially in 2026? This is regularly. This is weekly. You pick a number, you pick a percentage, you set it up, and you support your church. And I know you, some of you are like, really, we're talking about money? Yes, we are. You know why? Because churches need money. I'm not sure if you know this, but like Santee Cooper charges us for power too. It's not free for us. And look, when you showed up, it was all free. We didn't charge you for coffee. We didn't charge you to keep your kids. There was no cover charge. The air was working. That doesn't mean that was free. See, what that means is that someone else was obedient, that someone else was generous, so that we could be strong enough for you to sit and for you to discover and for you to fall in love with Jesus. And so it's only natural for us now on the other side to do for others what someone did for us. And so we're going to summarize it this way. Again, if this church has changed your life, will you help us ensure that our church is strong enough for the people who are where you were? Because see, here's what I know. In the next few weeks and months, there's going to be a mom who shows up. And she's been bringing her kids, and she's been begging her husband to come. And her husband finally is going to give in, but he's going to look at her and say, fine, but I'm going one time. Famous last words. If that's you today, husbands, this is your one time. We'll see you next week. But we've heard that story over and over and over. There's going to be a single parent show up who is struggling. They're drowning. And they just need help. They just need somebody to look them in the eye and tell them it's going to be okay. They need to feel love. They need to feel support. They need the arms of Jesus around them. There's going to be a couple show up whose marriage is hanging on by a thread. They have tried everything they can think of. And we are their last resort. There's going to be people who have tried church after church after church after church, and they're about to give up. I don't know why, but Wellspring always seems to be the last church people go. I'm not sure what that says about us. But guys, we need to be strong enough for them. Because this church was strong enough for us. And it's easy to say, yeah, but I don't know them. And that's true. But you also didn't know the person who paid for your chair. You probably didn't know the person who helped you park. You probably didn't know the person who checked in your kids. They were playing their part. They were doing what God asked them to do so your life could be changed. The stronger challenge, the stronger journey, the core of it is simply this. To whom much has been given, much is required. And if God has seen fit to use this church to change our life, we've received much. And the firmer and the closer we grow to Jesus, Paul tells us we are supposed to overflow with thankfulness, with gratitude. What is one of the primary ways we show thankfulness? We give back. We say, I will now do for others what someone did for me. That's our challenge. This is our moment. As we enter into our time of response, if God has used this church to change your life, spend these moments praying and committing to what you're going to do to help ensure we remain strong enough for everyone God wants to bless in 2026. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're so thankful for your son. Lord, as we come out of this time of response, I pray you move in our hearts. Give us clear steps. And give us a clear sense of conviction and commitment. Remind us of how we've been blessed. And now give us clear next steps to be the blessing that this community needs. May what we do today make us strong enough in 2026 to achieve everything you want for our church. We love you. We thank you. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.